Hi, everyone. It's Ryan Messina. I'm stepping in for Jeff for his usual episodes of Attack of Opportunity because I thought I'd play a little fun joke on him and tell him I hid something special for him in the closet. Little did I know, the secret was no light and a lock.
I don't see anything in here. Are you sure it's in here?
Keep looking, Jeff. But while Jeff's gone and occupied right now, I thought I'd take this opportunity to abscond away with one of my friends here in the whole Dicewise Entertainment crew and interview my buddy Frank Hamilton. Frank, thanks for giving me some time here, bud, so I can pull your eardrums and get into what makes Frank Frank.
Hey, thanks, Ryan. Happy to be here. It's been a while since we talked last. So what's up? Talk to me.
Just kind of want to kind of get into the nitty-gritty of, like, the origins of Frank as a gamer. A man who rolls dice for fun and not for money. I know you've been playing for a long time, but what was your first intrigue? Like, how'd you get into the whole D20 systems, or D&D, if that's where your start was?
It's kind of goes way back to like 1980. I lived in a place in Arizona that had literally nothing to do. And I was, just kind of cruising through the garage sales with my mom and found a D&D box set, the basic red box, that's got that Elmore cover art on it.
Oh, nice. Came with the dice. And is it the one that had the red figurines and the pre-made mod? Or
This one came with, some dice, and I think it had like a crayon or two in it. And it had some old character sheets, from the person that was selling it off. And ever since, it's been kind of the artwork that has kept me kind of interested in gaming, because back then there wasn't a whole lot of people around where I was playing. So really, I was more of just like this kid that was trying to live out these dreams through the artwork that was on the covers and inside the books.
So it's almost like an original Jumanji story. You picked up a box and you got trapped in another world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think in some of the earlier ones, there was kind of like, how to play D&D. And there was like a page or three of, like examples of role play. And I would just read through those and I'd be like, oh man, it would be so cool to have friends that would do this. And eventually I would start, kind of like writing my own story content. It was terrible. And, like a lot of people growing up that are interested in gaming stuff, I'm like, I'm going to get my English degree. I'm going to write for a living. It's going to be amazing. But things happen. But, that love for artwork and for playing has always been there.
Oh, that's cool, buddy. So this was your introduction into it. And then you mentioned that you at the time didn't have a group to play with. So you just started creating your own content and just getting involved in the medium that it was. So when was it that you actually got to start tossing some dice around with some other people?
It wasn't until probably last year of like junior high, start to hang out, and there's kind of the nerdy kids that play D&D in the corner. I just walked up to them one day and kind of eavesdropped in and kind of jumped in on their conversation. And then we had a game going the next week.
Sweet. So you just forced your way into their circle and said, I'm your friend.
Basically. Yeah. I mean, sometimes that's how the gamers have to do it. You just like, you're one of me, and then just jump into their conversation.
Awesome, bud. That's cool. So you played from junior high, and you've played continually up into your adult years?
I've had a Saturday game going now consistently with the same group of guys in person for 22 years.
Oh, wow.
That's just since I moved over to where I'm currently staying in Oregon. But we used to play in my garage right around this tiny little kitchen table. My wife would kind of tolerate us. Then we migrated into the garage, and that slowly evolved into like the gaming den. Bookshelves get put up. I built a a big gaming table that had a kind of a drop down lid on it at one point in time. We'd slide maps under it.
Yeah, oh, that's cool.
Pretty awesome, I thought.
Yeah, man. So you've been playing now for a long time, over two decades at the very least. So do you have a preferred class or an alignment, or like where do you get your jollies most of playing?
You know, as far as alignments go, I like playing the good guy. I think it's part of that, you know, kind of being respected as the hero in town and stuff like that. I don't know, probably a neutral good or a chaotic good, but everybody likes to dip down into like the true neutrals, the neutral evils, you know, just ever so briefly, but it can get kind of old being kind of a bad guy, I guess I want to say. I mean, but for the last couple of sessions, my characters have always been kind of abrasive, not necessarily bad guys or even neutral, but just always kind of had an edge to them. And that could be, you know, part of my own personality. As you get older, you kind of, if you're not careful, kind of get an edge to, you know, or just where you're a little less tolerant of other people's BS. And I think that's rubbing off on my characters. They're becoming more grouchy.
Maybe just developing more facets to your character as being like a trope paladin good guy.
Yeah. Perfect. But as far as classes and things like Echo, I've played almost every class. There have some that I kind of shy away from. Monk, typically. And I don't know why. It's probably because I don't have a strong archetype to kind of bond with. You know, they've always kind of been this Kane and Kung Fu, and that's okay. There's just a lot more stuff on TV and in novels that I read that identify with, you know, your standard, you know, Western European knights or the high fantasy elves and dwarves, things like that.
All right. Everyone wants to be Arthur. Nobody wants to be Merlin.
Pretty much, yeah.
Especially wizards, the original.
Although wizards are fun to play. I do like a creepy wizard.
Oh, who doesn't from time to time, right? So you still have a studio or your gamer's den in your closet and your garage that you have your Saturday gatherings at?
Yeah. It used to be a two-car garage, and you know, I sold my Trans Am, and now we just park in the driveway there. But yeah, it's got a 4x8 table that I made out of a piece of subfloor when I was still building houses. Pretty sturdy there. I had so much more plans for it, like to put shelves underneath that would slide out, like drawers where you could stow your books and things, and then kind of tuck them up out of the way. But it never quite got that far. And now I've just kind of picked up an old Mondo mat, you know, like one of those ChessX things.
Yeah.
And so now it's a 4x8 drawn map. And then we used it for a while, and now we're pretty much stuck on Roll20 just because it's, you know, it's really visually something to look at, you know, a good map.
All right. So you guys have a projector or something set up, or? You've gotten away from playing games on a battle mat, and you're more so onto the virtual territory now?
Yeah, I think that's probably an accurate assumption. Most recently, I'm running a Strange Aeons game, and we've gone from the small mats and the big Mondo mat. Now we're using Roll20. I've just kind of dipped my toe into map making and things like that. Before, I thought it was more entertaining, you know, to kind of be part of the story, to get up, kind of walk around as you're kind of bringing these characters and these scenes to life, you know, as you run the game. But now, you know, just kind of trying not to hide behind my computer screen as I move monster tokens and things like that. I mean, but I think the Roll20 mapping format brings a lot to a game.
It's the versatility and the being able to generate something that's color depth of field. And again, like you were saying, I have to agree with you, the art is part of what helps draw you into these environments.
Exactly, yeah.
So you mentioned that you got into the virtual landscape. So I'm supposing when you got into that, started playing around with Roll20, this was around the time that you met Jeff?
It was a little bit before that, actually, a couple of years. A lot of my friends that I gamed with are all kind of techie. Some are electronics people, a lot of programmers in my group. And they had stumbled onto Hero Lab, and we were making characters that way, printing them off and using that way. And then eventually we stumbled onto the Roll20 platform. And then, you know, our games kind of would be a hybrid between Mats and Roll20 and this, that, and the other. And as one of my games kind of slowed down a little bit, I thought it would be interesting to check their Roll20 forum as far as new games go. And I found Jeff's advert there for a podcast gaming group. I thought it was interesting, so I gave him a shout out.
That was about 2 years ago.
We started with this kind of desert environment, and then we started it again, and then we started it again.
Legendary Mummy's Mask.
Yes, the game that never ends.
The reason why we love level one so much, am I right?
Because we never leave it.
They say home is where the heart is.
Exactly.
All right, so it's cool, bud. So you started off in Mummy's Mask, but how many shows are you currently involved in?
Oh, gosh. So I started, like you were saying, in Mummy's Mask, and through them, or through that one, you know, I met you and Matt and Aiden and all the other guys playing Star Wars. So I kind of glommed on kind of late in the Star Wars game as a kind of a grouchy, quiet sniper guy. You know, once again, kind of showing my age there. from there, it was, you know, Taldane Knights in Dice Before Dishonor, kind of dipping into the darker side, you know, with one of those side quest podcast things. But I think we've probably got four or five up and running now or in the mix.
Nice. Some in production, some in release, and I think some which are slated to come out in the near future.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to, you know, the evil game kind of dropping. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So Evil Play podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can tell you have a lot of fun with that. And I'm just glad my character is playing with you and that we're hopefully not going to have to entertain the idea of PvP.
No. PvP is always ugly. I mean, it's fun to think about, you know, and I think everybody's done it at one point in time. You get irritated at a character and you grease him. And then he comes back and makes a character solely to grease you. And you get a little bit of that back and forth, you know. Yeah. But after a while, it gets fun. And you realize that no matter what alignment of a character you play, it's always better to kind of get along. Even if it's a strained get along, it's always better to get along with your companions. And I think that's part of what that evil podcast is going to try to show, is that you can play characters that, while they may be morally reprehensible, they can kind of get along with other people as long as their own goals are advanced.
Yeah, no, the Hell's Vengeance AP, I think, will be a good playground, especially for you to show off your chops.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't read much about it. Either the Nation of Cheliax or, you know, kind of what the AP is all about. So it's going to be really fun to explore both the country and role play of some of these darker characters in that new setting. Well, yeah. For me, anyway.
I agree. I found sometimes it's usually better to kind of go in blind, and then you really have to rely on your DM to actually paint the mapscape out for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's cool. So I remember, like, I never actually had this privilege because I started playing the game with Jeff in person, but he did a bunch of additions, and everyone always has a story about their addition. Do you have a story about yours?
About my addition? Let's see here. I think, you know, the funny thing was there was a rogue that was in this early kind of Mummy's Mask sidetrack thing, kind of adventuring foray, and the rogue was trying to kind of move through the crowd and pick some pockets or something like that, and I was playing a not a charlatan priest, but someone who was not afraid to take advantage of the crowd. And so started proselytizing and passing the collection hat around, and ended up making more that way than the rogue did trying to pick pockets. It was pretty funny.
That's awesome. It's always fun when you can have a character who can steal but not steal.
Yeah.
That's all right. So in that, so where you live, do you ever attend any cons?
Well, I don't know if I want to say fortunately or unfortunately, but the nearest conventions that are really, I think, worth going to are probably up near Portland, Seattle area. That's about 4 or 5 hours away. And the ones that I've always, you know, just really wanted to die to go to are, you know, days away. And so, no, I've never actually been to a convention, not for gaming anyway. I've been to some Home Builders Association things for a while, you know, with my old job, but no, never any gaming stuff.
All right. And you mentioned your previous careers, and I know personally, but for the listening audience, maybe they don't, that you started off as a tradesman.
Yeah. Kind of drugged my way through high school, did some factory work, and then fell into carpentry. And I was a journeyman carpenter for a long time, up until 2006, 2007-ish, then went back to school and got a nursing degree.
Yeah, that's going to be quite the flip and change of environments for you.
Yeah, I mean, you credit it all to, actually, you know, I credit it to playing D&D. You know, that love of reading, that, you know, always wanting to learn more, to read, to stuff like that. You know, it really does kind of foster an interest in education, because you're always trying to learn new rules, things like that. I really think it helped kind of shape who I am.
I'm sure the D&D franchise would love to hear your story there. Getting a D&D, become a nurse.
That's right. I did it, cool. And so can you.
True enough. So do you know of any products that the Dicewise Entertainment might have for merchandising available, if anyone were to want to pick up some swag, so to speak?
Well, you know, I think we do have some stuff like that. We've got a couple of websites available through the links and things like that, Teespring and stuff like that. Just kind of funny sayings. We've got some miniatures that are out there through, I believe it's Messina's Miniatures.
Yeah. Thanks for the shameless plug. That's a printing company.
Some coffee mugs, socks, t-shirts, houses. That's right. Get your own Frank built house. I know we've got all kinds of stuff available. Those that are interested in geeking out with us.
Yeah, that's cool. I see even some of some shirts that have your phrases on it.
I don't know how noteworthy any of my phrases are, but there was one that I thought was humorous. We were playing kind of good cop, bad cop in a Star Wars game. And I suggested throwing someone out the airlock. I'd been watching a little bit of The Expanse, and that's kind of a fun way that they do with people there when they're tired of talking with them. And so we were playing good cop airlock. And I think that made it onto a shirt.
I'd buy that shirt. So we've talked about where you came from, talked about what you've went through, and we've talked about where you are now. And we've even dabbled a bit with the future. We don't know how much Jeff will let us talk about things in the future without spoiling things. So that there.
Well, you know, Jeff's not here. He's still locked in the closet. I'm really seeing some exciting things with the Dice Before Dishonor. I'm excited to see that thing move forward. See a Cavalier group, you know, just basically hamstringed with skills and things like that. See how they get through some of the challenges that thing presents. The evil group, you know, that string there, that's going to be a whole lot of fun, both to play in and to listen to. Man from Assyrian is going to be coming out here before too long. I'm really excited to hear about that. So yeah, a lot of stuff in the works, a lot of stuff coming out here pretty quick.
Yeah, I'll come up in the near future. If not, it's already out for people to consume. Thanks, bud. I don't know if Jeff's going to find his way back positive time soon there, bud, but I got to get back to my wife, and I'm sure you got to get back to yours. So if anything there, bud, if I'm not talking to you sooner, thank you for your time, bud, and I'll see you at least on Friday.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, always a lot of fun talking with you guys, and thanks for having me on.
Anytime, bud. Ciao.
Hey, guys, I think I found it. Guys? Hey, I'm having a little trouble here with the door. Xena? Hello?